tonight I've got a big sheet of paper on discovering your spiritual gifts, and it's a blank slate at this point. And I'm not going to fill it up for you because we've got some other handouts we're going to give in a few moments, but I don't want you to have them now because you might be tempted to read them ahead. But I want you to open up your Bible with me to Psalm 139. Last week on this little series that started last week, Pastor Todd shared with you the various gifts, and I mentioned that there were like 26 of them in the Bible, and the leadership gifts, the ministry gifts, and the spiritual gifts, and other probable ministry gifts, and then the fruit of the Spirit. Well, he covered that all. Tonight, I've even got a bigger challenge, at least to me, for certain, but he did really well last week in getting it all done, so I hope to do the same tonight. But we're actually going to take some tests, so part of this is going to reflect back to you. Because these tests are not on knowledge. They're based on impressions in your heart. And I don't want you to answer the test questions based on what you want them to be, but basically where to assess where you're at and you feel you are right now, because then we'll get the true results. But Psalm 139, as you're turning there, I want to read verses 1 through 6 starting, and then I want to drop down to verses 13 and 14. And this is from King David, according to the Holy Spirit, Psalm 139. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. And you comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me, and such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." And then verse 13 and 14, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. And I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Father God, I pray your word would speak to our hearts tonight on how you feel about each and every one of us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Church, if you agree, say amen. So King David is expressing these thoughts, but he's really talking about, in a way, prophetically, of you and I, as well as his own life and circumstance. In fact, I want you to notice in verse 14, and circle the word, if you have your Bible, the word made right there, because it has an asterisk next to it, and what it's trying to say that in certain of the translations, the word made isn't there, but it's in there in the Hebrew. In fact, the Hebrew word is ashah, and it literally refers to something that is incredible. It's what God made. Now, here he's talking about how David says, God made me, and he made us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And some try and say, well, is that really true? Well, in Psalm 149, verse 2, the Bible says, "Let Israel rejoice in the Lord that made him, who is their maker." So God is our maker. Can you say amen to that tonight? Yeah, God is my maker. But he uses, of course, a mother and a father to bring that about. But the reality is, it's reflecting upon God who made us. And in Genesis 1:16, the Bible says, God made the great lights. He made two of them, one to rule the day and one to rule by the night. And so two in this case, but God made them. And then in Genesis 1:31, the Bible says, "Then God saw everything that he had made," all the same word made, "and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And someone said, well, God doesn't make junk. We do. Humans do. And yeah, we do. But God doesn't make junk. So tonight, I don't know how you feel about yourself, but I hope you're feeling a lot better about yourself when you leave here tonight than even perhaps before you came here tonight, because God made us. And he didn't make a disappointment. He made something very special to himself. And he said everything that he had made was good. So I believe that as well. But someone also said, as you consider the human body, you realize that you are wonderfully made indeed. In fact, did you know that your eyes can distinguish between 8 million different colors? That is, if you're not colorblind, as some people are, but that's typical, 8 million separate colors. And that your ears can hear between 300,000 and 400,000 different tones, unless you have a hearing problem. Sometimes I have a hearing problem. My wife said it's selective. No, she doesn't. Not anymore, because I got it tested. It's been proven. And so, but every day, our body produces 1 billion red blood cells. And that's awesome. I mean, God made that to happen. Truly, we're incredibly made. And yet, the one who made us loves us, and he considers us good in that sense. But the scripture says to covet earnestly the best gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:31. So the word charisma is there for the Greek for the word gifts when we think of gifts. And charisma means a divine endowment. And God, he made us, but God endowed us with certain abilities. And we were born with some of these. They're there. And often, sometimes, we don't even know or recognize unless it's pointed out to us. I'm hoping by this little series, you're going to see where God has already put some of that within you. But when Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts, in fact, it means to burn or yearn with envy and desire. What best gifts? And I've often taught, what is the best gift? Well, the one that's needed at the moment. If for instance, somebody needs to be healed and you're praying for the gift of tongues, you know what? Why don't you start praying for healing? And or a word of knowledge when somebody is having trouble to understand what's going on with their life. You know, what are you praying for tongues for at that moment? Tongues is a great gift, but actually, there's gifts that are needed at the moment. So we should covet those gifts or desire those gifts, as Paul said. Well, so are those within us? Well, they might be, but they might not be. But I also believe, and I've seen God operate, where he gives those gifts in a moment. And sometimes people think they have a gift, like, for instance, the more power gifts, like the gift of healing, and they think, well, that's their gift forever. It may work one time, but maybe it took that one time that it was necessary. But yet, that one time doesn't mean you get a semi-truck and a tent and you go around the world telling everybody you have the gift of healing. And because then you're going to be manufacturing things that aren't there. So the reality is, all these gifts, many of them are within us already, and they just need to be understood. And then some of them come at the moment. And that's why Paul said that at the end of all of his teaching on gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. He goes on to say, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Well, I've never been able to find out the best one except for the one that's needed at the moment, and that is the best gift. So I personally believe that God, by design, has given certain people certain gifts. And I'm going to show you that tonight, hopefully, if we are able to accomplish what I'm after. But having said that, tonight there's two tools that are going to help us. They're both assessment tools. And what God has already begun working in your life, and I'm going to start with one that has to do more with the behavioral style. It's called DISC. Anybody ever take the DISC test, the D-I-S-C? No? Okay, good. And so then you're straight on this. You won't try and second guess it. But in this packet that Peter is going to get handed out to you right now, I want you to turn to the next to the last page, and I want you to skip all the other stuff. Now, some of you are going to be tempted to read these definitions. I don't want you to do that because you're going to then foul up the results. So it's kind of like giving you the answers to a test before you take the test. And in fact, in most cases, that's illegal, especially in school. And but so I don't want you to do that because you'll get a chance to look at those, but I want you to look at them at the right time because otherwise you will foul yourself up on answering these questions. The next to the last page, it says at the top, the DISC assessment tool. And this is used in major corporations, usually Fortune 500 corporations, and it's given to understand behavior. But what I'm using it for is to understand behavior and working with other people. When we talk about gifts, we're talking about the body of Christ. And Pastor Todd will deal more with that next week. But the gifts are made for us as the body, the family of God, ministering these gifts to each other. So this little tool here, behavioral style assessment tool, will give you the ability to understand and how you mix your gift along with other people who are around you and how you understand them as well. So in this disc test, if you'll notice it, it's next to the last page. You'll see at the top, everybody see the disc assessment tool? If you don't, let me know so I can have somebody help you out. Pastor Todd's back there too. But there's four quadrants. Quad one, and then quad two follows it, quad three, and quad four. Okay, you with me so far? So there's 20 adjectives in each of those quadrants. And what I want you to do, in just a moment, I'm going to pray, I want you to answer as simply as you can by just putting a check mark or an X in that little line. Which one of those and how many of those speak about you, describes you, right now, at this moment? So, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would help us with this and guide us into it, Father, in the interpretation of it as well, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, okay, so the gifts of the Spirit are exactly what they are. They're not, even though naturally I believe God has put them within us to some extent, to where we feel compatible when we see that gift or hear of that gift, we go, okay, I can relate to that. But they're gifts of the Holy Spirit. So they're not necessarily ours to own, except for the fact that God has designed us with those gifts. Now, that doesn't mean we're limited to those gifts, nor does it mean that we can't go to another gift. And that's why I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. And just to show you a couple of items here concerning those gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and go with me to verse 31 first. And 1 Corinthians 12, where am I at here? It says, are we there? It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Now the word best, again, it's got an asterisk, and it's referring to greater, or the one that I always use to interpret that is the one that's the most necessary at the moment. It's the greater gift. That's why I use that illustration. If somebody needs healing, then you need to pray for them. So what other scriptures would we use to pray for a person who needs healing? Well, in James, we're told to anybody sick among you, let them call for the elders of their church and be anointed with oil, and the prayer of faith shall make whole or heal the sick. But Jesus also told us all, as believers in the Great Commission, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, in Mark chapter 16. So does that mean I don't have the gift of healing then? Well, I don't know if I do or not, but if somebody needs healing, what should I pray for? God, give me that gift of healing, and then be obedient to the Scripture. And we're told in Mark 16, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we can do that, right? Amen? Absolutely. So you pray and ask God for the gift of healing. Now, does it mean he's always going to do that? But no, we're told, as Paul said, earnestly desire the most appropriate or the highest gift for that moment. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way is chapter 13, which is all on love, God's love. So all the gifts operate in God's love. They're not designed to be separate. When it comes to discernment, that gift of discerning of spirits is exactly what it is. It's not the gift of discerning of people. It's a gift of discerning of spirits. In other words, there's a human spirit, it's their flesh, and then there's a divine spirit, which is God, and then there's a satanic spirit, which is obvious. So the gift of discerning of spirits, when somebody is doing something or said something, and the person who has that gift might say, whoa, and they're kind of taken back by it, you don't judge them, you judge the spirit. So that could be just their flesh. That could be God speaking to you. Or that could be an evil spirit. So you need to test all things, the Bible says, and to hold fast to that which is good. So the gifts are very simple. They're not as complex as what people make them when you apply it. So the gifts are for the body of Christ, which Pastor Todd will go into next week. And it's how we work with these gifts then becomes more of the body functioning. So I need you all to function with the unction of the Holy Spirit. In other words, let God's Spirit guide you, and if you've never used any of these gifts, then we need to make sure you step out in faith. So I believe step out in faith and see what God has, and then let God be the decider. If the person doesn't get healed and you're praying for healing, do you stop? No, because the Bible says you should have faith, right? So faith means I believe what God's going to do, because you may not see him get healed at that moment. They may be healed at a later point in time, and you may never see it. So even the prophets, it says, spoke, and sometimes it says in Hebrews, they never saw it come to pass. But they spoke what they believed as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So I think we need to be the same way. So here's what I want to do. We've got a few minutes left before we sing that final song. I want us to come together, everybody down here in front, and join hands or arms. And we're going to pray. You can leave your stuff there. Now, next week, bring your sheets with you, because the body is going to show functioning. But tonight, we're going to function together by the Holy Spirit. Michael, you had that gift of administration?
Yes.
Okay, so tonight, I want you to pray for all of us, and I'll pray for everybody here, that we all fit in line with what God has for us when our various gifts are working.
All right, Lord, we just come before you, and we just thank you for this evening as we got to take these tests. It's kind of a fun time, and just kind of see how you made each and every single one of us.
Yes.
And we know that we are your masterpieces, the one we're just kind of reflecting on that, and just as we get a, took this evening just to really see how you made us, say, I ask that you'd help us to live up to that and,
yes,
and walk in all those things that you've put before us, all those good deeds that you've put for us to walk in, those ministries that you prepared for us. I pray that we would rise up to the calling that you have on our lives, God, and help us to be in line with who you are calling us to be.
Yes. And Father, tonight I thank you for each one, Lord, and I pray, God, that you would remove any confusion as to someone might have about which gift that they have and how to operate that gift, because Lord, you told us that all the gifts operate by love. That's the way of God, the agape love of God, which means we care about others and we show that care towards others. And so Father, that you would just bless each one with the various gifts you've given them, Lord, even if King David said that we're fearfully and wonderfully designed and made, that you made us and designed us to fit in certain roles. And even though we might feel we want to take a step back position, Lord, but maybe you've called us to be a leader and to step out there. Well, God's flock today needs leaders. We need leadership. We're stumbling in this world as Christians often, where we don't step out and take that role. And then others, Lord, are so compliant that they just want to serve. So God, I pray for each one that has those abilities to serve or to lead, or to just be a person who ministers the love of God one to another. But God, bless our gifts and use them for your glory in this church and our families and around us. God, it could be so exciting to see the Holy Spirit using each one now, furthering your work in these last days. I pray for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless each one for your glory in Jesus' name. And we all agree by saying,
Amen. Amen.